You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking First Cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your mega preview pod for this week's Wells Fargo Championship. It's storylines, it's best bets, it's the one and done. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here, but he's there. Patrick, boots on the ground at the Wells Fargo Championship.
Yeah, what's going on, gang? I think the eye in the sky knew there was a tournament in Myrtle Beach this week, and they wanted to get me as far away as possible, so set me up to Charlotte for a couple days.
Yeah, and Patrick is going to make every moment more, which is what FanDuel does, because this episode of The First Cut is brought to you by FanDuel, the sportsbook, where you can make every moment more. KP, Kyle Porter is here. Good to see you.
Good to see you guys too. Patrick was talking off air. I won't air out the details, but he was talking about his welcome to the league moment this after or today. And it made me think, Patrick, of remember how they used to do, I think it was in Sports Illustrated, they used to do the welcome to the league, like what was your welcome to the league moment? Mm-hmm. And essentially it was a question to players like NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball about when they kind of ran up against something extraordinary, and it was like, oh, this is different than playing in college. Well, they interviewed Desmond Mason, one of my Oklahoma State boys, for this welcome to the league moment thing. And they said, what was your welcome to the league moment? And he said, I dunked on David Robinson and welcomed myself to the NBA.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty good.
I love
pretty similar to mine, I think.
for sure.
Yeah. Very similar indeed. Well, gentlemen, we've got, just a little bit of news to talk about, and we'll go through Wells Fargo Championship preview and the bets. We are expecting Greg Ducharme. He is wrapping up some other obligations before he comes and joins us, because we're going a little bit early today. So we'll see how that goes. We've got the final PGA Championship field, and the most notable name, or at least the one that we're going to talk about right now, Patrick, is Taylor Gooch. Taylor Gooch has been voicing his displeasure about the way that LIV golfers are being treated at major championships and other events. The PGA of America has extended an invitation to Taylor, and he has accepted.
Yeah, I think I'm already sick of PGA championship content between the asterisk joke and their turn to Michael Block, which he might break the internet at some point tomorrow afternoon. That's all I can disclose right now. And yeah, I think the PGA Championship did the right thing. Obviously, it's their championship. They can invite whoever they want. And we saw it with the Masters a little bit, where these major championship governing bodies, they care about their tournament. And the OWGR doesn't really affect who can play in their tournaments, right? Masters didn't see fit that Taylor Gooch had enough history with Augusta National and didn't have enough form around the world to invite him, but they invited someone like Joaquin Neiman, who made a push worldwide. PGA Championship, kind of the same deal. They invited the individual champion from LIV, who they deemed worthy, and then they invited a youngster like David Pugh, who has been going around the world trying to get OWGR points as well. So they can do whatever the heck they want. I think they got it right. I'm bummed. My boy Lou Oosthuizen reportedly said no to his invitation. Would have loved to see him play. He's playing some great golf. But yeah, I think the PGA Championship got it right, and it's good to see probably the best field of the year there.
Yeah, per Doug Ferguson, the PGA actually offered Louis Oosthuizen an invitation. He turned it down, quote, because of personal commitments, end quote. So not sure exactly what that means, but Louis was offered, did not accept. KP, is this a sustainable solution where instead of having specific criteria for LIV, top five, top 10, whatever that looks like in the standings, getting automatic invitations or automatic spots, I suppose is a better way to put it, into these major championships. Each major is just essentially assessing the landscape and handing out invitations as they see fit.
Yeah. Well, two things. One, before I get to answering that question, I don't know that this is that big of a deal, right? It's being perceived as a big deal because Taylor Gooch, obviously his comments, but these are guys that got invited last year, right? Taylor, I'm looking at the PGA of America invitees, the 2023 PGA Championship at Oak Hill, Dean Burmeister. I'm trying to think just off the top of my head who's on LIV. Gooch was an invitee. Let's see. Maronk, he wasn't on LIV yet. Neiman, Adrian Otagwe,
Paul Casey,
Peters, Paul Casey withdrew. Oh. Peters got invited. Patrick Reed got invited. This is just sort of like pretty standard. What's different is that usually those invitees are like top 100 players in the OWGR, or is that the right number, Rick? 125, something like that.
It's 100, but they get flexible.
Oh, they got real flexible with Ricky Fowler a couple of years ago at Kiowa. Yeah.
I think Webb Simpson got a flexible one recently.
Yeah. And some of that was like, I remember the Paul Casey one was something happened where he didn't, he wasn't able, like he got hurt or there was a COVID thing or something. So he got, it kind of rolled over. I don't know, whatever. I don't know. To me, this is not that big of a deal. If they're flipping over to using the Rick Ren good rankings or the Data Golf or whatever, but still inviting kind of the top, the big news is like, okay, what are you kind of using as your criteria now? Right. And I think the second thing, and I was thinking about this the other day, the historical norm for men's professional golf has not been one tour. It's been two or more, right? And these majors have always sort of pulled from at least two major tours, if not more, throughout their history. So to answer your actual question, yeah, I think it is sustainable. It's just I am curious to see how transparent, depending on how long this whole saga goes on, how transparent each organization is with what their criteria are. I'd love to hear from the PGA of America, like, and maybe they released this and I just missed it, but like, okay, were you using the Data Golf rankings? If so, great. I'm in agreement. Like that should be used, and Gooch and Oosthuizen and those guys should be in the field. Were you on Rick Run good side? Like what was the methodology to get these guys in the field?
The thing that we could run into here, Patrick. So we're what, a couple years into this, the OWGR rankings have tanked for a lot of these guys. The situation where we might run into is you see a little bit of campaigning, right? Joaquin Neiman, first thing he says after a LIV victory is, well, you know, I'm playing great. I'm still not in the majors. And that makes its way around the golf ecosystem. You know, are we going to see guys campaigning for spots moving forward?
Well, to be fair to those players, Dean, the Green Machine Burmeister, they get, it's the first question they get asked after they win a golf tournament is, yeah, oh, you aren't in the majors, but you're clearly one of the best X player in the world.
So isn't that by design to say, to get a sound bite of that?
They've been doing it pretty much after every tournament. Neiman has, Burmeister did a little bit at Doral. So yeah, it could be designed to do that. The campaigning thing, I think, Yeah, I mean, every guy wants to be in a major championship that they can't otherwise qualify for. And so I guess it's only, I don't know what the word is, only human nature to be like, hey, I think I deserve to be in if I won this tournament over these players. But I think Liv also has a little bit to do with that too.
Yeah, I just don't know that anybody who said that has gotten in undeserved. I don't know that it has worked.
It's like a winner of a golf tournament has said it. And so I don't I didn't read the transcripts post Brendan Steele's win in Adelaide. I don't know if he said anything like that. But like Burmeister's been playing good golf around the world. Neiman has too.
So is Gooch.
Yeah.
There will be 16 LIV golfers teeing it up at the PGA Championship. I just stumbled into a very interesting little trivia question. There is a LIV golfer who will be making his 41st consecutive start in a major. It's the longest active streak of any LIV golfer. Any idea who that might be?
I do know the answer.
Oh,
wow. Well,
but I'll give the stage to KP if you want to guess.
It's not Rom, so it's somebody that's 10 years of majors.
10 years of majors.
Probably Patrick Reed.
Probably right. Yes, it is Patrick Reed. 41 consecutive start. That's pretty sick.
And like he's kind of been low key good at them. Like the first part of his career, he remember he didn't have a top 10 for so long. Mm-hmm. And then I think he top 10'd at Quail Hollow in 2017, or like T11 or something like that. And then he won the 2018 Masters. But since that 2018 Masters, he's had some good play at majors. Not all of it, but it's been certainly better than the first part of his career.
Louis turned down an invite, talked about that. We don't really have any more information. So here's what we're going to do. How about this, Josh? How about we transition over to the Wells Fargo Championship? We'll hit the storylines. We'll do the best bets. We'll give the one and done. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. And just like that, Greg Ducharme has made his appearance from behind the curtains. That's showbiz, baby. Hey, Greg.
That is showbiz. Happy to be here. I'm sorry I missed the first segment, but it sounds like I'm here for the good stuff.
Well, now that you're here, Greg, it is the good stuff.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn our attention to the Wells Fargo Championship. And I don't think we had a chance to talk with KP or Patrick about this, but Ludwig has withdrawn. That was breaking news during our Monday show. He is citing a little bit of a knee injury. And I asked Greg on Monday, so I'll ask you guys, level of concern here, because I did do a little bit of research. This predates the Masters, by the way. There is a Swedish article from SVT Sports. Shout out my guy, Matthias, who they asked him about this pre-Masters. He was having some swollen knee stuff. So this does go back a little bit longer, Patrick, than just a couple days.
Oh, I know you're big in Sweden.
Scandinavia in general, I'm pretty large.
Yeah, don't limit him to Sweden.
Well, I'm sorry. He tells me all the time. He goes, Patrick, guess what I did today?
All the time. I'm
like,
sure.
They love themselves some Rick Run good over there. Let me tell you. I'm like, all right, man. level of concern on a 24-year-old's knee problem. I'm going to say I'll give it a 2. I'll give it a 2 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, at the Masters, he was like, see that guy over there? This was Rick Patrick. He's like, see that guy over there? I was like, yeah. He goes, that's my guy. That's my Norway guy. That's my Norwegian guy.
I gotta get a Norway guy.
He's got somebody in every country. It's unbelievable. I think this to me is less about Ludwig and more about just the weird scheduling of the PGA Tour. Not I'm not blaming the PGA Tour for Ludwig's whatever's going on with him, but I just think it's not great that we're tacking on these huge events right before and after major championships. The U.S. Open, Rick, there's one the week before and the week after. Yeah. So it's a combination of the master, what happened at the master after the Masters and what's happening before the PGA. That is, I mean, I know that golf is not a high impact, high contact sport, but that just is like, I don't know. It's just a lot. And I don't know. I think the scheduling could be done better.
Here's the run, Greg. So Canadian Open, which is an event that a lot of guys like to play. It's been growing in popularity. Then the Memorial signature event, U.S. Open, obviously the U.S. Open, Travelers signature event, Rocket Mortgage. It's going to decimate the Rocket Mortgage field and probably hurt the Canadian Open field.
Yes, it very likely will. But you know, when you elevate events, when you raise events in their significance and you create a big separation in purses, that you're going to have lopsided fields. And that seemed to be the direction that the PGA Tour and their players thought was best. I'm not sure if it's best. I mean, the signature events have been great. I think the other events have created very interesting storylines as well. But is that what is best for the general public? I think the jury is still out on that. As far as the scheduling and injury is concerned, that I believe will take a little bit of time to kind of figure out what the effect is, right? You got to start looking at the quantity of play that guys are going through. You can also add into that, Kyle, the condensed schedule, right? Going from January to August with a condensed schedule and condensed FedEx Cup playoff qualifications. Are guys cramming to make the playoffs more than they were in the past with the wraparound season? Those are all things that can be looked at in the future. And I'm very curious about it, but if you're finding that your schedule and in the quantity of events you play remains the same, if the cadence remains similar, then I don't think it necessarily raises the cause for injury. It's just that when things happen, there's more big events that you could possibly miss. So I am curious in the long term how that kind of all plays out.
Yeah, this is going to be a sprint here for the rest of the summer, plus the Olympics are in there for guys that qualify. Patrick, the tour has ostensibly, have I used that word right, created two tiers of tours. When are they just going to, they just need to go all in and just like admit that. Just like, hey, here's PGA Tour Plus, here's the PGA Tour.
I mean, they pretty much have, right? Mm-hmm. Catering to these guys and the signature events, and then, I mean, this is a perfect example.
They tell sponsors, do they? Do they say, "Hey, this is a
who's sponsoring the Myrtle Beach Classic this week?"
Do you think we could pull enough together and sponsor?
Do they have a sponsor? They have to
YouTube.
So it's Myrtle Beach Classic, but I think the big sponsor is Myrtle Beach, like tourism. Now,
okay,
I don't know if they paid the title sponsor fee to call it the Myrtle Beach Classic. It's kind of like you wouldn't even have to if they're just going to name it after the location. It could have been a little loophole. They got away with not paying the full spot, the full amount.
That's kind of like Live Singapore is paid for by the Singapore Tourism Board.
Right.
The duty-free Irish Open or whatever.
Duty-free Irish Open. Yeah.
No port-a-johns there.
Yeah, duty-free.
Sorry, brought me back to my welcome to the league moment a little bit. But the PGA Tour A and B, I mean, they don't need to come out and explicitly say it, Rick. I think guys understand where they fall in line.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, that's true. But also when you when you're sort of implicitly saying that they're all kind of in the same realm because of the amount of FedEx Cup points you're handing out, right? And I think it would like really benefit, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but I think it would benefit the main league, the plus the big leagues to officially split those and have an off week. You know, like we don't like the PGA Tour is not governed by what the Korn Ferry Tour does. And in the same way, the PGA Tour, the upper echelon of the PGA Tour should not necessarily be governed by what the lower echelon of the PGA Tour is doing. And I don't know. I think they're trying to jam so many events into the schedule that it, you know, and because so many different organizations are involved in the majors and different things, it's just everybody's trying to just taking away from everybody else. And I think everything gets lessened because of it.
I agree, but I will stop us from going down this rabbit hole. Yeah. There will be at least one absence this week. That's Scottie Scheffler. He is not in the field. Obviously, we already discussed Ludwig. Greg, it's $20 million. It's a signature event. It feels more wide open without a couple of big guys at the top, especially Scottie.
Yes. Kind of the one piece that opens up the field for everybody else, or so it seems. So I think that creates a lot of intrigue. I mean, you have the potential storyline of Rory McIlroy heading into a major championship off of back-to-back wins. And the Zurich Classic win, call it what you will, if there's a signature event right after it, those back-to-back wins carry a lot more weight, in my opinion. So that storyline opens up. The storyline of Wyndham Clark potentially winning back-to-back Wells Fargo's heading into a PGA championship. You know, he's got now back-to-back wins at a PGA championship venue, next year's PGA championship venue. What does that mean? It will definitely add a little bit of additional hype without Scottie Scheffler being there. If Scottie plays and wins, there's like one storyline heading into it. It Scottie against everybody else, and it's probably going to feel a little different next week as a result of this. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this pans out. This is a major championship venue. Won't be set up like a major championship in every aspect, but it is a serious golf course and a serious test for these guys. And I think much more so than say the Masters with the Valero Texas Open right before it, this will be a very good test for where players are heading into the PGA championship.
I was just scrolling through everything earlier, Patrick, and the sheer number of wins that have been sucked up by Scottie or a long shot. There are so many guys who don't have a win halfway through the year.
Like all of them, pretty much.
Like all of them. All your favorite players have zero wins.
Yeah. Combined. Let's see. Fleetwood, Cam Young, those are free spaces. Xander, Cantlay, Spieth, JT, Finau. Who else is in there?
Rory.
He's got half a one. Colin.
Yeah, but he won in the fall, at least.
Fitzpatrick, Finau.
Victor.
Homa, Victor.
Yeah. Victor was grinding today.
Evergreen statement.
Grinding.
I think one thing that's really interesting. Well, so I think, Greg, I actually disagree a little bit, although I agree with the sentiment. I think there are three storylines no matter what happens this week. Scottie, obviously, Brooks going for six and playing well going into the PGA. There's no chance of that. Like, that just is what it is, right?
Yeah, that's a good, fair point.
And then I think, no matter what he does this week, Rory just returning to Valhalla. And I don't even know if that's necessarily about him playing well right now as much as it is like, hey, it's the whole 10-year thing has like a, there's some like texture to it as they go back to Valhalla. But I think Windham is a really interesting one. If you look at Pebble, let me think, Arnold, Bay Hill, player, TPC Sawgrass, and then RBC Heritage. At those four tournaments, he's only lost to Scotty and or Sahith. That's it. He's beaten or tied everybody else. And I think that these next two venues, I'm curious about what you guys think, but I think obviously Quail Hollow, he has played well at. And I think Valhalla, with how far he hits it, sets up like those are like pretty good, you know, Wyndham Clark. Let's go see if he can finish in the top five at both of those type venues.
Yeah, Rick, I don't know if you've mapped the course yet. I've heard a lot of left to right.
A lot of left to right. And I swear every landing zone is like 25 yards wide. It is just tight. And I felt like Oak Hill, there were some spots where if you really bombed it, you could carry the trouble. I'm not sure that's really the case here.
Okay, but the question is, what do you get in the surrounds? Because, you know, it's not like it's tight like Harbortown with trees.
No.
Right? It's tight with rough.
Right.
So if the landing zone's tight for Wyndham Clark, you know, that's an advantage over, and I just hate to do it, but it's top of mind. That's a big advantage for Brendan Todd if the landing zone's tight for him as well.
Agreed.
And that's where, you know, if the rough's thick, if the rough's short, if the golf course is long, the long hitters tend to have an advantage, which I think we've seen at the PGA Championship since at least Belle Reve.
Belle Reve, yeah.
Definitely, definitely need to see the rough. Rough, the what they do with the rough will determine a lot of it. There is a it's like Fjord's Fork or whatever, the creek in the water. Yeah, get ready for that one.
Scandinavia.
Yeah. Wow. It runs throughout the course. So there are some spots where, you know, you could hit it into that creek, but the rough will be important.
Yes.
Here's a question for you guys. Are we sure Scottie Scheffler is going to play the PGA Championship?
I was texting somebody about this today, just a buddy, nobody in the golf world, but I this is a couple sources removed from actually Scottie, but I don't think that's like even close to a done deal. I think it's like
him playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's starting to get a whole lot tighter time-wise.
Now, I mean, like, somebody tweeted the other day, like, has she not been due for, or has she not been pregnant for like 14 months? I mean, she's got to be ready to have that baby. Like, I think he'll play. I think, I think he will play in the PGA Championship. But it's definitely on the table that he doesn't, which I feel like, to your point, Patrick, nobody has really mentioned. Everybody's just kind of presuming that he will play.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it didn't help that people ran with the story at the Masters when it wasn't really, I don't know, it, like, not honest isn't the correct word. The
we weren't there
the
yet.
The timeline was different, I guess, miscommunicated, you could say. And so the general public just is like, oh, she's been due forever. But in reality, it's always been the last month of April, which has now turned into now May.
And, yeah. You know, I don't know about you, Kyle, but in my experience with pregnancies, the doctors don't really want you to go too far past the due date. There are some, at least I was told, there are some health concerns if it goes on too long. And I think it tends to be about a week. I don't know I'm not trying to get into the health world, but I guess my point is this isn't the kind of thing. This isn't the kind of thing that could just go on forever. There's a point where it could become problematic and the doctors kind of have to intervene.
Did you ever think getting into like talking about golf for a living that you'd be breaking down OBGYN tendencies?
No, I never. You know, there's been a couple things in the last 2 years we've gotten into that I never thought would be relevant. For sure. And when I was in school, I always had this attitude, which I regret now, of, well, I'm never going to use this. So like, I'm not going to study earth science. Because I don't need to know what that rock is in my life. I'm never going to need to know that. And when it comes to like geopolitical sciences and OBGYN tendencies, yeah, I never expected that. But here we are.
Here we are.
You can find Greg Ducharme at the real OBGYN.
The crazy part here is like, just with Scotty, I mean, he's legitimately having one of the best seasons of the last 30 years. And the Grand Slam is sort of in play. I mean, we're still pretty early. But, like, it's just the, like, all of it is just, like, if this was happening to Max Homa, be like, oh, that stinks. Like, you know, we'll see Max again at some point. Hope to see him at the, whenever. But with Scotty, it's like, man, this is crazy. Like that this specific thing is happening during major season in the middle of one of the great seasons of the last 30 years.
You know, you mentioned the Grand Slam being in play, kind of. And I know it's early, but I never thought it would be this much in play.
I agree.
You start to look at, and we did this on Course Record a few weeks back where we compared with the statistics that were available in 2000 and Scotty, because we compared Tiger and Scotty, and they are remarkably similar. And next week I'll have these in front of me on paper and we can go through it. It's fascinating. You start looking at scoring averages, fairways, greens of regulation, birdie average, bogey avoidance. All these statistics that were available are near identical. In fact, if I had to give an edge to somebody, it'd be Scotty, except, you know, win percentage, he's like one behind. Top five percentage, he's like, you know, one more top five behind. But it's fascinating. And the reason that comes in play, well, Tiger's the last guy to complete a slam, even though it was over 2 years. And Scotty is that player right now, heading into the second leg of it. So this is a very interesting twist in that whole situation.
Let me hit you with a couple of trivia nuggets before we go to the next segment. This first one should be pretty easy, but just so that people can get all lathered up about Valhalla. The winner in 2014 was?
Rory.
The winner in 2000 was?
Tiger.
The winner in 1996 was? Mark Brooks. Oh. Is there a Brooks connection
that we remember? Do the winner in 2008
at the Ryder Cup, not United States of America. Yes. How about either of the two senior PGA Championship winners, 2011 and 2004? If you get one of these, I'd be very impressed.
2011.
Did Darren Clark win at Valhalla?
Hale Irwin.
What's Hal Sutton doing?
Okay, Hale Irwin, but that was 2004. That's correct. I'll take it.
Okay.
So we need a 2011 senior PGA championship winner.
Tom Lehman.
Got the name right. First
name. Tom Watson?
Maybe Tom's.
Tom Watson.
Oh.
There you go.
Nice.
Get everybody nice and all.
Here's one. Who played with Rory in the final group? In 2014.
Burned Wiesberger.
Yes.
Here's another little nugget.
You didn't think anybody would have that, huh, Patrick?
No, I know Kyle read Shackelford's thing today. Must have.
I did. And I just, for some reason, I remember I watched it while I was covering it from home, and I remember like thinking, this guy, he's never going to be in, he might not be a professional in 2 years, and here he is 10 years later.
To put a note on the tournament names, for a couple of years, the tournament was the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. So Dubai Duty Free is a company responsible for duty free operations at the Dubai International Airport. That company sponsored an event in Ireland, I guess trying to make a pitch to come to Dubai. And for like 7 years, it was the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open.
Wow. That's, if you like that. Ireland, you'll very love Dubai.
Sport. Yeah, very normal sports stuff right there.
Or if you hate Ireland, you'll love Dubai.
Yeah.
Very normal. All right, we are going to turn our attention to the best bets and the one and done. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
And we're back. This best bet segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. If you have never seen us do this before, here's how it works. We take $100 over to FanDuel Sportsbook. We put 50 on our favorite matchup, 30 on our favorite finishing position, and 10 each on two separate outrights. And we put it all into a grid. And then Josh displays it right now for all to see. There we go. Okay. Okay. Oh, pretty good. Pretty spread out. I like to see it. Greg. Whoa, Greg, you're picking on your guy. Give me your matchup.
Yes. Will Zalatoris plus 105 over Tony Finau. As we talked about last night, if you saw the DFS episode, I do like Tony Finau, but not as much as Will Zalatoris. I had to get Will Zalatoris into this, onto this grid, because I have a general rule when we get to major championship setups, I play Will Zalatoris any fashion I can, maybe not to win, but I think he can beat Tony Finau. I think the back injury, like as Patrick said with Ludwig, it's a two. I have a feeling there was just a little soreness for Will and he needed a week off. I expect to see him come out in Will Zalatoris like form.
Plus 105 over Tony Finau. Patrick, you're picking on somebody else. What did you choose for your matchup?
I'm going with Benny on minus 120 over Jordan Spieth.
Let me stop you there. Benny on is minus 120 over Jordan Spieth. That is where we currently are.
And he hasn't played that well. It's not like he's like on a heater. He played well at the Masters, but
I walked out of the media center today, and Spieth was on the practice green, like putting five footers, and Greller was behind him on all fours, just like. I took a picture. I didn't tweet it out, but it's pretty funny. His head's just like on, like looking down on the ground, just looking exhausted. And then I watched like Victor work on some stuff for 10 minutes, talk to a few people, so probably half an hour went by, and I look back, Greller's in the same exact position. Spieth is still going at these five footers. I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm going to take Benny on minus 120 over Spieth, who is kind of going through it. And Benny on's playing good golf right now.
Yeah, definitely going through it. I'm taking Tommy Ladd, Tommy Fleetwood plus 105 over Patrick Cantlay. I just love Tommy. He's playing great golf. He's well-rounded. I think he can avoid making bogeys and make enough birdies to get around this place. KP, you have found one of the few guys not named Scottie Scheffler who has a victory this year.
Yeah, but I've got Hideki. He's been playing solid golf this year. I think you can make an argument that he's been like the second or third best guy in the world behind Scheffler and maybe probably Wyndham or Xander, somebody in that realm. And I like him here. He plays well at this golf course. Yeah, a little bit of the same stuff that Greg said about major championship like golf course. He finished T5 here in 2017 at the PGA Championship. So yeah, I'm going with him over Brian. Not really a Brian Harman ballpark.
Tommy over Cantlay, Hideki over Harman, Benny on over Jordan Spieth, Will Zalatoris over Tony Finau. Finishing positions, we've got two top 20s, a top 30, and a top 40. KP, I'm bouncing it right back to you, please.
Yeah, I've got Siwoo top 20. Siwoo, we talked about this, I think, on Sunday. Since the Arnold Palmer, since Bay Hill, he's only had one category at one event where he's been minus strokes gained. That was approach play at the Masters. Everything else around the green, off the tee, approach play, has been plus in every event since Bay Hill. So he's been playing really, really solid golf, kind of under the radar. And I like him to finish in the top 20 this week.
For those of you who are not in our group chat, this, and I'm not going to share, it's not mine to share, this grill.
It's extraordinary. He looks like a broken man.
I mean, this is...
I didn't have the heart to post it on Twitter. I couldn't do it to him.
Things are very tough there. Patrick, you're on a heater right now. Find us a finishing position.
Taylor Moore, top 30, plus 115. I thought about Denny Boy here, but the golf course is very wet right now. Balls aren't really rolling out. So Moore's got a little more pop in the bat, and he's been playing good golf. I don't really care about the miscut at the Zurich. I think the Heritage was kind of the product of a good Masters where he finished T20, and he contended in Houston and played well at the Valspar. So I think he can get top 30 in this 69-man field.
Patrick, do you know what the forecast is for this week? Is there rain in the forecast?
It's supposed to rain tonight and maybe Friday.
Okay.
Good weekend.
And it's already wet.
Yes, definitely wet. I wore white shoes, and I immediately found out it was a mistake.
Yeah, that's a rookie move right there.
Another welcome to the league, man.
Just unbelievable. Are they
they're nice, man. They're nice. They're the True Links Masters Collection. They say members only right there on the heel.
And they is that your leg, or are you that flexible, or are you just holding the shoe?
Yeah, that's my leg. I don't know if you can see the coordinates of Augusta National right there, too.
Zoom, wow. Zoom, Josh.
They're pretty cool. Awesome. Yeah, see that?
Mm, kind of.
Yeah, kind of good everyday shoes.
That's a much bigger mistake than I originally thought to wear them today.
You know what that makes you, Patrick? That makes you wet socks.
Oh, trust me, it crossed my mind. It definitely crossed my mind.
That's tough.
You either die. What's the saying? You live long enough to either
see yourself become. You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah, right there.
Nick Dunlap, top 40, because I'm a sucker. And I saw a glimpse, and it's only 69 golfers. And if he can't finish inside the top 40, we're in big trouble. Greg, what did you pick?
I'm going Akshay Bhatia plus 150 for a top 20. Four of his last five events, including a win, have been top 20 finishes. He's been very good around the board, especially with the putter. Five in a row, he's gained strokes putting. Love Akshay this week at this course.
Dunlap top 40, Siwoo top 20, Akshay top 20. Patrick, your finishing position, please. I almost just read it right off.
I talked Taylor Moore, top 30, plus 115.
Did you talk about it already?
Mm-hmm. It was that memorable. Pretty much.
I was still working on the shoe thing, and I was reading the comments trying to find everything out. Two separate outrights. There is only, wow, these are, so this is, we talked about this being wide open. We've got a range here from 6.5 to 1 to 40 to 1. Greg, why don't you go first? Because you and I do share one golfer.
Yeah, I'm not really going out on much of a limb here. I got Rory McIlroy, the favorite, at 6.5. I think Rory comes in loose. He's won here three times. He's got 8 top 10s at Quail Hollow. He loves the golf course, clearly. But you know, post-Masters Rory is a different golfer than pre-Masters Rory. And I'm really excited to see what he does. I think the win at the Zurich, well, you know, make of it what you will. I think for Rory, he hit some big shots at big times. I think that's going to go a long way for him this week. And my other outright is Wyndham Clark. I do think he's been the second best player in the world, aside from Scottie Scheffler. And I just felt like I feel like one of these guys is going to win. And it's not very often that you feel that way. So I figured why not put them both on the board? Who cares about the odds?
I'm with you on Wyndham Clark for basically all the same reasons. I think there's a lot of good golf courses for him. I obviously think this is one as he tries to defend. And then I took Justin Thomas at 22-1 because I have a problem. I can't
you
stop.
You have a problem.
I can't quit. I was ready to quit. Then he finished T5 in Harbortown and he gained throughout the bag. Maybe the instant boost of splitting with Bones was just delayed a couple of days. I can't stop with this guy.
That seems like you need to seek out some help there. I've got Tony Finau and Patrick Cantlay. I love Finau this week, which I probably shouldn't, but I do. He's been kind of low key playing pretty well. He hasn't really been in contention, but he's been playing decently. And then Cantlay's played a lot better. He's had a weird year. He was kind of bad at the beginning of the year, but he played better at the Masters, played well at Harbortown. And he's played well here at this golf course in the past. So I like both of their numbers too. I think those are good numbers for them.
Yeah, 18 and 35-1. Now, Patrick, both of yours are longer than that. 35-1 and 40-1. Please tell the people who you've selected.
Yeah, I love Hideki for all the reasons KP laid out. I mean, he was the hottest name out there before the Masters, it seemed like. Didn't have a great start there, obviously, and hasn't played since, but I think we're catching a little drift on him just because he's been forgotten about, but he's playing great golf. And then for all the reasons Greg said about Will Zalatoris as well, I think the back injury honestly might have been a little bit of a cop-out for the Byron Nelson because he would have had to go on like six straight with this week in the PGA. So I'm not concerned about that WD at all, and his iron play is very good. He's played well at the tough golf courses so far this year, and I think that continues.
It would be pretty sick and I guess smart to use the back injury. Like, can't you use anything else? Hey, I sprained my big toe. I'll be back. No problem. As opposed to being like, hey, you know that thing that I had surgically repaired and missed 9 months on? Yeah, I'm worried about it.
Veteran play.
But it makes the most sense. Like, even if it was not hurting, it's an easy, like, yeah, my doctor's like, don't put too much pressure on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't overdo it. I know. It's just scary. It's just a little scary.
To be honest here, I wanted to take Wyndham at 16, but I saw that you guys both did, and I didn't want to be influenced by what Rick and Greg were doing, so I just went away from it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's smart. That's
integrity.
Good.
Honesty.
Integrity. Hashtag.
Rick, any concern about Justin Thomas one eye on next week? I think he got like what, the key to the city, maybe.
That is the banner. Least of my concerns with Justin Thomas.
For sure.
I got a lot of them. That's like number 42. Okay.
I was on the outskirts of a gearhead talk today. He might have switched something in the bag. I don't know what, but something new might be in there.
You don't seem like you have a ton of time for gearhead discussion.
No, I kind of scoffed him off. I'm like, get out of my way, nerds.
Yeah.
I gotta get a Diet Coke from this cooler. There we go.
I hope it's a putter. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. Now, our extra 50. This is anything we want in the whole wide world. Josh gives us an extra 50 over at FanDuel, and we fire away. What do we get this week, Josh? Oh, interesting. Okay. KP, you and I need to pick up the slack. We're losers right now. We're not as big as Mark, thank goodness. But we got to get back to the black. What did you do?
You're almost as big as Mark.
Listen, you just don't be the slowest.
Yeah. I went with Hideki top 20. I think he's I don't know. There's a handful of guys you could probably call the most underrated golfer in the world right now. Wyndham's in there, and I think Hideki's in there. So I love him to finish in the top 20 this week at plus 115.
I also have a top 20. It's slightly longer, plus 130. It's Alex Noren. Greg and I spent a lot of time on Alex Noren on Monday. He's very good. He's very well-rounded. He does not make a lot of bogeys. In fact, number one, bogey avoidance on tour this year, Scottie Scheffler. Number three, Xander Schauffele. Number two, Alex Noren. Does make bogeys. Par is a very good score often this week, top 20, plus 130. Greg, you are in the black. You're up 26%. You're rocking and rolling. Let's keep it going.
Let's keep it going. I'm going with the top 30, and it's Cam Davis at plus 140. I think this golf course is right up his alley. And in the last 3 weeks, he's played his last three starts anyway. He's played pretty well. I think he has a lot more in the tank, a lot more ability. And all we got to do is see, you know, he's just got to kind of maintain a position and we'll hit this one. I think at the end of the week, I could be looking back saying, man, I should have been more aggressive on Cam Davis. But I'm happy. I'm comfortable. I'm safe. Even if he wins, I'll take the plus 140.
And Patrick, who rose from the ashes, from the depths of hell, being well down in the red, has turned it around. And he is leading this at plus 40% ROI. He is at it again with a significant wager.
The boys are calling me NVIDIA. I'm going with Xander Schauffele to win at plus 1,000.
First of all, I think it's NVIDIA, not NVIDIA.
That's no, why it's so funny.
No, it's NVIDIA and it's Chris Cuomo.
Well, that's on me though.
Yeah, Bryson's swing coach Chris Cuomo.
That's on me for sure.
I really need Scottie Scheffler to get back to playing golf so I can start winning these best bets, because I'm kind of lost without him. But I'm going with Xander this week at 10-1, hoping he can get across the finish line.
Noren top 20, Hideki top 20, Cam Davis top 30, and Xander top 1 to win it all at 10-1. That best bets segment, we got to change the name of that, Josh. That best bets segment was brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Leaves us with one final thing to do, gentlemen. It is to reveal the one and done selections. It's a biggie. 3.6 or 4 to the winner? 3.6, right? Yeah, 3.6 to the winner. And we have a surprisingly diverse set of names here.
Yeah.
KP, we've got to start with you. You're at 3 million. Who'd you get?
Yeah, I went with Big Tone. Mentioned earlier that I really like him. I can pull up his recent finishes, but he's been... he's been good. I mean, it's also kind of a Finau golf course in that if you're, you know, killing it off the tee. So his last, so going back to Genesis, T19, T13, T45 at the Players, Miscut Valspar, T2 at Houston, T55 at the Masters, T12 at RBC Heritage. So he's been good. And more importantly, he's been good off the tee, which I think is very valuable this week. So I didn't think anybody else would take him. I need to be a lone wolf because I need kind of a miracle to get back. Not a miracle, but I need some like a really hot couple months to get back in this. And I'm happy to be the only one with him.
No miracle. Hot 2 weeks. Get a win this week. Get a win next week.
Yeah.
And you're in the lead.
For sure.
That'll be easy. Now, the record of me rolling with Patrick is dismal, just brutal. So I'm going to try something a little bit different. I'm going to roll with Greg, and Greg wears sweaters, and Greg is sophisticated, and Greg knows what he's doing.
What am I, Rick? Say the quiet part out loud.
You're telling gearheads they're dorks. You're wearing your white shoes to muddy golf courses. You got a lot of things going on in your life right now.
That's fair.
That was all today. All that was today.
And not even the Welcome to the League moment.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So Greg, let's get some love together. Why don't you tell people who we have both chosen?
We have both chosen the winner of the 2024 Wells Fargo Championship, Rory McIlroy.
I thought realistically, it's probably, I thought you were going to say the 2024 winner of the PGA Championship, which would make sense because he will definitely win next week when we pick him this week.
If that's what we have to give up is y'all's one and done for him to get a fifth major, then I'm sorry, guys, but by all means,
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'd take it too. Because we'd probably do pretty well this week if that were to happen. I had thoughts at the beginning of the year of saving Rory until Eastlake. That was the plan. And I looked at his name and I said, hey, this is a situation where you got to pass or shoot. What are you going to do here? I said, we're going to shoot. We're going to shoot right now. This is Rory's time. And I'm taking it. I'm going in. Rory McIlroy is my one and done selection.
Mine as well. Patrick, you are at $5.3 million. You're actually right in between Greg and I. So who have you selected for this week?
I went with Wet Sox Schauffele. I think the gods are trying to tell me something with this whole shoe thing going on, and I'm going to take it as a sign, and I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele to win this week, and I will be atop the leaderboard heading into the PGA Championship, where Brooks Koepka will be 80% owned and one and done.
Yeah, well, he will be, but 20% already used him at the Masters. Him and Rom are like very popular at the Masters. So, yeah, interesting. Producer Josh, $7.1 million, has taken Wyndham Clark. That is in his lonesome. And I called Mark for his one and done selection. He's at $7.6 million. And he said, oh, Rick, how's it? I'm taking the guy who's won not one, but two Wells Fargo championships and earned over 1,000 FedEx Cup points. I'm taking Max Homa.
That was really good. Every word you said, I was like, he can't continue doing this. And you just kept it going. That was amazing.
10 out of 10. The people listening on audio are going to be like, oh my God, Mark came just to announce his one and done pick.
So Mark took Max Homa. Mark is in. So Josh did the overall standings. Mark is on the verge of cracking the top 100. I'm on the verge of cracking the top 480. So things are a little bit different. Okay, gents, any final thoughts before we get out of here and before I tell people that they can come back and find us on Thursday?
I ran into Johnson Wagner today, my fellow Virginia Tech Hokie, and he said, KP, you'll like this. He's got a few things up his sleeve next week for Valhalla and live from. That's all he would disclose to me.
Let's go.
I think, let's take a guess. He will use a Louisville slugger to hit golf balls towards a green.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, I can see it.
That's my official guess. Anything else? Okay, I'm getting a lot of head shakes. I think that's time to end it. We will be back Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for round by round recaps. And then, of course, you guys know what next week is, where we'll just continue to roll right on. Big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. Patrick McDonald at P McDonald CBS. Greg Ducharme at The Real GFD. Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.